Got a message from Anya in Ukraine. You know, I've shared before, you know, she's our contact, and she helps a lot of people, poor people, and all kinds of things, and I shared a little bit about one of the people she helps, Yulia, you know, has a disabled boy. And Yulia left Kremenchuk to go be in the village with her parents to be hopefully safer, but the Kremenchuk got hit with 12 rockets the other day, so good. But she said, I want to tell you a little update about Yulia. She talked to me yesterday, she said, that 2 days ago they were told that her brother was killed and that they had to prepare for the funeral. Her mom cried badly, and they didn't want Ivan to see the body because, you know, they would do it there with the family, and they didn't want Ivan. The poor little boy is having a hard time comprehending what's going on now when they keep running down into the cellar to hide from the war. So they didn't want him there, so she managed somehow to get back into Kremenchuk, which is another deal, because then it got hit with 12 rockets. But so we went back to Kremenchuk, you know. Well, then yesterday, when the coffin showed up and everything was prepared, her brother called and said he'd been wounded and that he was in the hospital. That body was not her brother. It was a different young man. Mom almost had a heart attack, exclamation marks. She said, I told Yuli, it's a miracle, really. Of course, the stress was the highest. Now, her mom's sister's up there with her as well to try to help her. Some other things going on. Resurrection from the dead is a fundamental Christian doctrine. You know, I think everybody in their own thoughts try to understand the idea of resurrecting from the dead but they've never died before. But we've seen death, and maybe we've known, obviously, loved ones and people that have died, so we know what it is. But the idea, we have not experienced a physical death, but we have seen others. But the fundamental teachings of the gospel, the good news, is resurrection from the dead. We know from Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die. And we accept that, I guess, at least. I guess we think about it, but for some reason the Bible says men keep thinking that they're going to live forever, and they name their lands after their own names. You know, like. But death does happen. Now, when we read in the Gospels, Jesus had the ability to lay hands on a dead person and they could come back to life. Wow. He also could open the eyes of the blind, the deaf could hear, the lame could walk. But you know, the scriptures in some ways are very clinical, I guess. They tell you that's what happened. And even sometimes when he did do stuff like that, you don't get the emotional information, the background, you know, with people freaking out, crying, or so tears of joy to have their loved one who was dead. When he raised Jairus' daughter, I'm just looking there in what, Matthew 8, I guess. Matthew 8, no, 9 probably. Let me look here. Make room, he comes. People are crying. Verse 23. Jesus came into the ruler's house, saw the flute players, a noisy crowd wailing. He said, make room, the girl isn't dead, she's sleeping. They ridiculed him. But when the crowd was put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, the little girl arose. And then there's a report of this went out into all the land. Hey, Jesus just raised a dead person. Oh, interesting. Oh, that's cool. Here, Mom. Here, Dad. Here's your daughter back. Oh, thanks. You're right. The house would have come down. We have to put ourselves there. We have to really, really think about that for a minute. Because if we're really going to appreciate the resurrection that God is offering us starting now, by the way, that's what we really need to start to appreciate now. If you are a partaker in the first resurrection, then the second death hath no power over you. You cannot start worrying about the first resurrection you were supposed to partake in when you end up dead and you realize you've just showed up for judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment. You don't get to reconsider, oh, wait a minute. Oh, I was supposed to, when I was back, well, I'll do it now. Is that okay? Can you send me back? No. Do you realize what Jesus did many times in a physical sense is so he could communicate the power of that? When he opened the eyes of the blind and the lame could walk and the dead were raised? I shared that with you because, see, in effect, Yulia's mother's son resurrected from the dead. Literally had the coffin at the house. Now, Anya didn't specifically say if they opened it and realized that wasn't her brother. Or if the phone call came first, hi, Mom. What's that then? Who's in there? I can't even imagine what that would have looked like in real time. But that mother got her child back from the dead. I know some of you guys are still doing it, running those calls. I remember when, you know, we were running them here. Me and Jeff, I know, was on the Olivet. Went around with Bellevue. When you're flying into the hospital, man, doing CPR or whatever you're doing, and the family car is behind you, they're chasing you all the way into the ER. And we go flying in, and behind the curtain, and we're working still because they don't let you go because the doctor's got all kinds of stuff to do. He could do CPR. That's what you're there for. And the nurses are plugging stuff in. The doctor's giving orders. And especially if it's a kid, but even older people, it doesn't matter. And all, you know, you're working it. And then the doctor just, honey, you know, he's checking everything. Even maybe they're shocking them, stand back, boom. Okay, continue CPR. Finally, the doctor pulls off the rubber gloves. And he goes, what time? Mark the time. The nurse marks the time. Doctor says, family here? Yes, doctor, they're in the waiting room. Okay, he goes outside the curtain. I'm thinking, oh boy, here it comes. And all of the sudden, you hear a shriek that makes the hair stand right up on the back of your neck. That wailing in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children and cannot be comforted because they are no more. You guys been there, behind that, heard that. I hate that when it happens. When he heads out there to tell that family, that's not like a cry you normally hear when people are whatever. Well, what do you suppose the family would do if you brought the child back out alive who came in dead? Wow. This woman got her child back from the dead. She about had a heart attack. Yulia said, or Anya said, I don't know if I have time. I get talking, but you know, I can show you in Genesis when the brothers realized, when Joseph revealed himself to him that he was Joseph, the ones that they sold to the gypsies. You remember that? And his brothers realize it's him. Well, they got to go back and tell Jacob, the son, that he's grieved for all these years because his son was dead. And now they got to go back and tell Dad that Joseph's alive, Pop, in Egypt. It says his heart stopped. He was froze. And they said, look at all the stuff he sent us back with. See all the stuff he told, Joseph told to bring. And then it says his spirit revived. Well, that's what it said. She just said what happened to Yulia's mom. She about had a heart attack by the good news. He's on the phone, Mom. Huh? You see, sometimes we got to put a little skin on them bones. He raises up Jairus' daughter, and you think that everybody's like, oh, that was cool. Man, that was awesome. Yeah, right. The house would have came down. When he rose Lazarus from the tomb, Mary and Martha, oh, Lord, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. He said, I am the resurrection. Your brother will rise again. Martha said, oh, we know, Lord, and the general resurrection, you know, at the last day, you know, way out there somewhere. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And if a man believe in me, even though he die, he'll live. You know, sometimes, no, we can't wrap our heads around that, what that would really be like. But that's why the Lord had to do all this, so that we would have some baseline to begin to realize. You know that Jesus came, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. In order to free us, because of our fear of death, or all our lifetime subject to bondage. I'm just turning right there to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Inasmuch as then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him that the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, we have a fear of that. Jesus came to show us that if a man believeth in me, he said, he will never die. And I'm just looking there, John 8, verse 51. Anyone keep my word, he'll never see death. The Jews said, now we know you have a demon. Now we know you're nuts. Abraham is dead, the prophets, and you say, if anyone keep my words, he'll never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who's dead? The prophets who are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Exactly who he said he was. Remember, God ain't the God of the dead. He's the God of the living, Jesus said. We want to understand that to be the good living. I don't want to call that living if I'm in hell, in outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We may go on, but I ain't going to call that living. But, well, let me give you something to think about. So Yulia is in Kremenchuk now, she said. But her brother will be treated and sent back to the war. Rumors go that they may now draw even many more men into the army. Put yourself in that position, Mom. You got your child back from the dead, and you are absolutely ecstatic. And then they tell you, well, we're going to let him get healed up, Mom, and we're going to send him back out there again. Do you think she could tolerate the thought of him getting killed the second time? If she went through that the first time and got him back, and have to kiss him goodbye when he goes out there again to face an outnumbered foe? I can't see her letting go of me. I think it'd drive her insane. I could see that woman saying, "You, I ain't letting you go." I could see her holding on to him. Because he could get killed again, this time permanently. Woo! What it would be like to get him back from the dead. Jesus said, we read it the other time here not too long ago, there's a resurrection in John chapter 5. Jesus said, the hour is coming, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, John 5 and 25. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. As the Father has life in himself, he's granted the Son to have life in himself. Look what he said, do not marvel, verse 28, at this. For the hour is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Two resurrections. The first resurrection is the one he just spoke about. The hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. Now, he's not talking about the dead people in the graves. He's talking about people walking around out here. You realize when you come to accountable age, Paul said, I was alive apart from the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Died what? He's writing. Died the death of Adam and Eve. That separation. Is that a big deal? Yeah. You stay like that? You stay like that, and your body quits operating eventually one day, which it will? That's when you head into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. The big death. Jesus came here to destroy him and had the power of death. That is the devil. The thing that keeps human beings in separation from God for an eternity is sin. It's their sin. You know, sometimes people say, you mean to tell me if I don't get baptized and go to your church, I'm going to go to hell? If you go to hell, you're going because of your sin. That's what separated you from God. Repenting and being immersed for the forgiveness of your sins so you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit is so he can make you alive starting right now. Ephesians chapter 2, that's how that starts. And he made you alive. You was dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, or the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once conducted ourselves in lust of the flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh, of the mind, children of wrath, just like others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we was dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, and by grace we've been saved. Now there's no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved, Peter said. That name is Jesus. That death, where people, when they're separated from God, and they may not, well, they say may not, they don't know that's their condition. I didn't. I'm a human. Had I heard about God or Jesus or heaven or hell? Yeah, I guess somewhere. I mean, I did know, but I didn't know anything about it. Did I know that there was a separation that occurred sometime? That my eyes would have opened, that I would have had knowledge of good and evil, and my sin separated me from God? I would have had no idea about that. No idea at all. Where's that information contained? In the Bible, in Scripture. And by the time my eyes, well, or when that condition would have occurred or happened to me, way before I knew it. In other words, I'm going to throw this out there. The Old Testament drew the line at 20 for having knowledge of good and evil for the children of Israel. The New Testament doesn't give you a birthday, but I was nigh into 30. I was right before my 30th birthday when we got immersed in Wheaton Road up there at Ashlot with Jeff and Charlotte, me and Sue did. I can pretty much guarantee you I was separated from God. I'm just glad he knew me before I was born. I'm just glad he knew me. my potential, not boasting, I'm just saying, I'm created. You are too. We all are. That in the fullness of my time, that the good news, the truth would be presented, I would have a chance to respond to that, just like all of you do. We all do. And for the younger ones who don't, they're not there yet, they will be if they something else doesn't happen to them in the meantime. In other words, they die. Then they just go to God. What's wrong with that picture? We really do need to understand this, how this works. Now, some people, like Acts 17, still people like that today. When Paul got up there in Mars Hill and began to unpackage, you know, about this unknown God, they didn't know, so he unpackaged it for them and told them, the one that you worship without knowing, I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, doesn't, who's Lord of heaven and earth, and he don't dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worship of men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives life and breath to all things. I'm going to drop down. People need to seek the Lord, verse 27, in hope that they might grope for him, find him, though he's not far from any one of us, because in him we live and move and have our being, our existence. Your own poets, Paul said, have said that. We are his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the divine nature as gold or silver or stone or totem pole, something that is shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? He's appointed a day in which he's going to judge this world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. Now he has given assurance of this to all by what? Resurrecting, raising him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection from the dead, some mocked. Mock. Fundamentally, resurrection from the dead, Christian teaching. Two resurrections, the one you have to partake in now, the first resurrection, in order that the second death had no power over you. But that is only then the beginning. That is only the beginning. Because I said a few minutes ago, think about this, mom, dads. Everybody, to have your child given back to you who was dead and now is alive, you would be thrilled, literally, as Anya said, Mom, I had a heart attack. But the thought, now he has to get healed and go back to the war. I don't know how she'll ever let him go without going insane with fear. I really, really do. I pity her. But what about the Christian that goes back to his vomit? What about the Christian that was washed to its wallowing in the mire? Twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Jesus gave us all this physical example that, and I just read this. This is just, I don't think anybody would dispute. Did not this woman get her son back from the dead? They got a coffin in the house with a body in it. That's supposed to be her son. She's had days to wait for him to come and grieving the whole time, only to find out, hi, Mom, calls on the phone. And who's that? Abraham received his son back from the dead in a figure. You know, when you read that in Hebrews chapter 11, it says Abraham, when he was tested by faith, Hebrews 11 and 17, he offered up Isaac, the son whom he loved. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed will be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he received him in a figurative sense. What does it mean that Abraham received his son back from the dead in a figurative sense? When you go back and read the Genesis account, When God told Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, your son whom you love, I want you to take him to a place I will show you at Moriah, and I want you to offer him to me as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering. So Abraham gets the boy, gets the lad, and a couple servants, and they head out. How far away was Moriah? 3 days. 3 days. He leaves the servants. He told them, you wait here, me and the boy are going to go up and offer a sacrifice here. And Isaac says, because Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, I'm looking at Genesis 22:6, laid it on Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two go together. Isaac speaks to his father. He says, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. Then he said, look, we got the fire here and this wood, but where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? DJ asked me that when he was little. He might not remember. I took him out back, and we were going on the hill out back. He looked at me, and he said, you would, Dad, you wouldn't offer me or leave me out here or offer me as a sacrifice or something. I said, well, if you don't get your act together. It's amazing what the kids hear, you know, when they're listening, while they look like they're on coloring books. He said, Father, we got this. He said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. He will provide himself a sacrifice. Do you realize that Isaac was dead for 3 days? Because that's how long. How long was Jesus dead? Buried? 3 days. Who hauled the cross up the hill with a little help from the Simon the Cyrenian? Jesus took the wood. Where's the sacrifice? He was. But there was no voice that cried out when Abraham raised the knife and says, Abraham, Abraham, the Lord called out to him from heaven. An angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, verse 11. Abraham, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, don't lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted up his eyes, and there was a ram caught by the horns in the thicket. He said, there's your sacrifice. There was no voice that cried out at Calvary, stop! No. He went, and he suffered it, and he died. You know, God was really merciful to stop Abraham right at the last second. I can't imagine. He was going to do it. The boy was dead. That's what that's telling you in Hebrews 11. When it says he received his son back from the dead, that means the boy was dead. When was he dead? From the time God told him, take him to this place, Moriah, that I will show you. You know, you look, you unpackage, you find out when David sinned, numbered Israel, God told him to offer a sacrifice. The place that Nachon's threshing floor. Nachon's threshing floor is Moriah. And that is where Solomon, it said, built the temple on Moriah. Put it together. Moriah is Calvary, where the sacrifice was to take place. It took Abraham 3 days to get to Moriah, the same place David offered the sacrifice hundreds of years later, and Solomon built the temple on Moriah. It took Jesus outside of the temple area and crucified him. My opinion, you might hear my opinion, where that hole was, where that cross thudded down into that hole, that post hole, is exactly the altar where Isaac was going to be offered. I believe that. Why would God direct him way down 3 days to get all the way to this exact area and not make it the same spot? That's my opinion, that it's the same spot. It is Moriah, because that's what the scripture says. It is the same area, same spot. It's out where the temple is built. That was for free. He got his son back when God stopped him at the last second. He was merciful, didn't allow Abraham to feel what that knife would have felt like going into his son. But he stopped him only at the last second. The boy was dead, but he got his son back. In 2 Peter, we're warned. In 2 Peter, for if, verse 20, 2 Peter 2 and 20, if after they escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they get entangled in all that again and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It would have been better for them not to even know the way of righteousness than, having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But what has happened to them now is according to the true proverb, the dog returns to its vomit, and the pig that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. That's a description of a Christian that goes back. I just see Yulia's mom not wanting that boy to go back. She would wrap her arms around him. She's not going to do it. I could see her losing her mind. After going through what she just went through and thought he was already dead for 2 or 3 days, and then to get a phone call from him. Oh, man. The joy. And then the fear when he says, well, Mom, I'm in the hospital, and I'll be treated. And when he's treated, he will be sent back to the war, so they can try again to kill him. In Luke 15. In Luke 15. Certain man had two sons, verse 11 says. The younger of them says, Father, let me have the portion of the goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. Not many days later, the younger son heads out, goes on a journey to a far country, and he wastes everything, his possessions, prodigal living. When he spent all, then there arose a famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him in the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, but no one gave him anything. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Yeah, I know what to do. I'll arise. I'm going to go to my father. I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned before heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose, came to his father. But when he was still a long way off, a great way off, the father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck, kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to the servants, bring the best robe, put it on him, and get a ring, put it on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and kill the fatted calf. Kill it, and we're going to eat, and we're going to be merry. My son was dead. Now he's alive. He was lost. And now he's found. And they begin to make merry. Now the older son, who was in the field, come to the house, he hears the music, the dancing. He calls one of the servants and says, what's happening? What's going on here? They said, well, your brother's come. And because he received him safe and sound, your father killed the fatted calf. But he's angry, would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said, Father, I've been with you all these years. I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But this son of yours, as soon as he comes back, who devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill a fatted calf for him. He says, son, you are always with me. All that I have is yours. It's right that we should make merry and be glad. Because your brother was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost, and he's found. It started out, it didn't read it. The first verse there should have read as verse 10. Jesus said, I say to you, there will be joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. If we come out, and I'm just going to throw this to you real quick. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, we've been giving, he said, exceeding great and precious promises, 2 Peter 1 and 4, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We're strongly warned, don't go back to that old way. We have escaped the corruption, but he says, and we read it in the third chapter, but after they've escaped the pollutions of the world, we read that in verse 20, if you go back and get all entangled in all that again, the end for you is worse than it was in the beginning. Oh, don't go back. We have all these physical examples to make the spiritual application. Do you realize how many of God's people, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, do go back to their destruction? Many. Many. I'll just give you Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, look, I'm telling you, even weeping. Oh, man, if Yulia's mama was grieving and weeping like she was, when her brother got, they got the word he was dead. They were told that her brother was killed and that they should prepare for the funeral. Her mom cried badly. I mean, that means a lot. I mean, she was in bitter, bitter anguish of soul, badly. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, brethren, verse 17, join in following my example. Note those who so walk that you have as a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now I'm telling you even weeping. They are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Their God is their belly, their glory is in their shame, and they set their mind on earthly things. Who is he talking about, Christian? He said, I'm weeping, man. If Yulia's mom was crying so hard because her son was dead, and almost had a heart attack when they told her he wasn't dead, that he was alive. Oh, man. But I told you, when I thought about that, the fear that would shoot through her heart like a blazing arrow right now would be like, oh no, he can't go back there. I want him home. You get him home. I don't want, no, he is not going back there. I couldn't go through that again. Angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents. But what do they see if we start going back? We don't, this becomes boring, and oh, you know, we just, you know, get all caught up, I guess, Brian's stewardship, get all caught up in what's going on. We got to make the main thing the main thing. If we have physical examples. You know, I said, the Bible is so clinical. We could have turned, I was going to show you other. Lazarus was raised there, Jairus' daughter. He told the apostles, freely give, been freely given you, freely give. Raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out the demons. Can't even imagine the joy in those places. Not only just raising the dead, how much is it people in wheelchairs could walk? You know, what about that? That'd be pretty, and blind could see? Woo! We have plenty of examples like this and all that that tell us, yeah, we know what that would look like. It would be awesome. Our hope is not in a better life physically resurrected here, because we're all going to pass from this life. If you can get some treatment, some cure, something, hey, I've had my stuff. Who's had cancer? Thank God for the doctors. Sick people need a physician, Jesus said. We're so glad when people recover and they got their health. But what about their soul? They got to realize if they're not in Christ, they're separated in their sins and transgressions right now. And if they die like that, it's too late. That first resurrection takes place now. And it's not just that. Then it's the beginning of a new abundant life here that you've never really experienced before. God is good. He don't just remit the sin and just leave you to go off and just keep on sinning like you always was and making all the same bonehead mistakes you did before. No, he instructs us now so we can rise and walk in the newness of life. He teaches us. We can put off concerning our former conduct, our old man. That was our enemy. We can be really renewed in the spirit of our mind. That we put on the new man created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Quality of life now starts now. Why wouldn't we want that? So these are the things we need to consider as we go forward. And I share that story because that's real-time stuff. It just really just happened. That woman got her son back from the dead, just like Abraham got his son back from the dead in a figure. I'll guarantee you what, her son was just as dead as if he literally was dead, because she believed it to be true. Just like Jacob did when he thought Joseph was dead. And when he got the word, your son is alive, he's in Egypt, it says his heart stopped. I mean, he was stunned. And then once he saw the evidence of everything they brought from Joseph, his spirit was revived. What a shocker. But we need to make the application. If we're alive now in Christ Jesus, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, we've got to go on now. The idea, even the thought, that we would go back now and be twice dead, plucked up by the roots. I can't even bear the thought. No more than she could bear the thought of her son going back to that war, which I'll keep you posted. Maybe that's exactly what'll happen. Don't get me wrong. I don't wish it. But we're talking reality here. If he goes back to the war, maybe he won't come back. Thank you for your attention this morning.